Hello, everyone. Welcome in to the program. Brooke, thank you for joining us. Orion, thank you for joining us. Tonight is a very special announcement. We actually announced to the public that I am, yes, running for Congress again in 2022. I did not think that this would be something that I would be doing anytime soon. But there's just a series of events and things that happened to me and things that are happening in our government over the past 5 months where it just became very clear to me that I have to try again. And so this morning we send out the press release. It is true. It is official. I am running for Congress again, this time in District 2, the 2nd Congressional District. I am running as a member of the United Utah Party, which I am very excited about. I hope you'll take some time and look into the United Utah Party and what they stand for. I believe that their platform easily represents 70% of Utahns. Easily. We just have to find a way to get people to consider another option outside of their party. It was a long, difficult process for me, and I've shared that process with you, and I am now so glad to have found a home among the United Utah Party, and I think you will too. I hope you'll take a minute and look. Jake joining us. Jake says, we're glad you're running. Brooke on Facebook says, I wish you the best of luck. It's going to take more than luck, Brooke. It's going to take people getting involved. It's going to take your donations. It's going to take your support. It's going to take you helping me like and share and spreading this message and helping people understand that we are heading in a destination right now in this country that only has one outcome. I mean, truly, think about it. If we continue down this path we are going on right now with the toxic nature of politics, with the divisiveness, with the fear, the hatred, and anger, there is only one destination. Democracy fails. This great experiment dies if we continue down this path. And I have decided that I am going to go down kicking and screaming. And I am fortunate to be among a group of people who have decided to do the same. Many of you joining us here tonight. Orion, Jake, Michael Warner says, kick butt, Jay. We need to kick butt together. This has got to be a group effort. This has got to be a statewide effort. I am running against Chris Stewart, and I am running against the two-party system. And I want to share with you why tonight, if you haven't heard, and I want to take your questions and your thoughts and your comments, and I want to encourage you to go to the website, jmacforutah.com, J-A-Y-M-A-C-F-O-R, jmacforutah.com, and please, $5. If that's all you can do, it will make a difference. $5. Start there. Let's make a difference. But again, I am just firmly convinced that if we do not change our behavior, if we do not change our representation, there is only one outcome left. And it's just only a matter of time until we get there. And how ugly and awful and horrific does it have to get until we realize that our country is being run by the extremes right now? And those extremes have no desire to get together on issues. They have no desire to solve major wedge issues. Because the minute they do that, then their power goes away. Their power, by the way, comes from getting us into an emotional tizzy. If they can stir us up to fear and hatred and anger and use these wedge issues, then they can manipulate us. And that's exactly what is happening right now. They're using issues like critical race theory, illegal immigration, issues like that to divide us when there is clear common ground on all of these issues. I shared with you recent research that shows we don't even really know what the other side believes. And that's the way they want it. They want us to believe that we are so desperately different and that those who disagree with us are evil. They're misguided. They have ulterior motives. They hate this country. The reality is, and this may shock you, anybody who has an opinion about how this country should be run and who is willing to vocalize that idea and fight for it through the legitimate process of seeking representation and bringing to bear a vote to bring whatever platform you believe in to come to pass. Do you know what I call those people? Even if I disagree with them 100%, they're patriots. They have every right to believe what they believe. We live in this strange place where we think that the Constitution only dictates one way to run government. That is nonsense. The beauty and wonder of our founding document is that it gives place for differing viewpoints. It's amazing. What do we call even the Constitution? We call it the Great Compromise. That's what makes America great. Our diversity of ideas. But we have been led down this path and forced to believe that there is only one way to do things and that everything else that falls outside of that is wrong and is evil. My friends, that is not the belief system of patriots, of a free country where there is representation and democracy. That is the viewpoint of people who want to force their religion and their thoughts on people. That's not what we do in America. That's what, I don't know, terrorist groups do? Fascist groups do? This idea is dangerous. That there's only one way to be and we're going to force it upon everybody. And think about it. That's what both sides want. If we can just get to this place in government where we have all the power, where we have all the control. It's like we're just fighting for that. If we can only get to a day and a place where the left runs every part of government, and then we can force our beliefs on the other half of the country that don't believe that way, but we can force it on them. Or the right, if we can just only get to a place where conservatives run the show, then they can run roughshod over all the people in this country who disagree with them. That's what this country is about now? Think about that. That's what this country is about now. That it's our way or the highway. That's scary when you think about it. That was never the intent. If you want to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, if you want to have inalienable rights where people can fight for what they believe in the arena of ideas, you have to make room for disagreement. And let me share a little secret with you. Disagreement is good. Disagreement is fruitful. It is valuable. We know this in every other aspect of life. That when you have a diversity of ideas, your solutions will be better. They will be stronger. They will represent more people. Diversity of ideas should be cherished and celebrated. But no, the extremes want you to believe that that's dangerous. The extremes want you to believe that that's not a principle that this country was founded on. And I hearken back to the words of our first president, who begged us in his farewell address to not get caught up in partisanship to the point where we look at those who disagree with us as though they are less. George Washington described a patriot as a fellow countryman, whether they agree with us or not. That patriotism is about love of each other. It's about love of country above our differences. Diversity makes us stronger. But we're being sold this bill of goods that it's evil. And that's what's tearing this country apart. And that's why I've decided, my friends, that I have to get back involved. And I chose to run against Chris Stewart because he is openly and actively participating in these divisions. He feeds them. He wants them. If he can stir you up to anger against the other side, then he can keep his power. And I feel really bad about that because he has served his country. He has sacrificed. Anybody who tells you that being a congressman is easy, let me tell you something. It is a hard road and a hard life from what I've seen. And I just got a small taste of it last time. And so it brings me no joy or pleasure to tell you that one of our representatives has lost his way and has lost sound judgment. And part of me understands it's a huge political trap that we've all been put in. And we've been taught this and bred in this way for so many years. But District 2 does not have a representative who has sound judgment right now. And I hate that. I hate that. I would rather not have to dive in and do this. I would love to be able to sit here and tell you that, man, that Chris Stewart, he is really nailing it. He is really demonstrating that he is of sound judgment. I can't. He voted against the certification of the election on January 6th. And somehow he warped it into protecting the Constitution. He fell prey to the words and actions of somebody who does not have the best interest of our country. And somebody who had been crying election fraud since 2016. And based upon that, voted against the certification of this election. I cannot support that. And I believe that his actions with COVID have been dangerous. When the CDC came out with their mask mandate, their reversal, Chris Stewart made a point to call it a flip-flop, to blame the CDC, that they, how can they maintain any level of good judgment or credibility if they were changing their positions? Basically suggesting, I did a whole podcast on it, basically suggesting that the only way the CDC can maintain credibility is if they never change their positions. I noticed that he only criticized them when they changed against his belief system. But when they flopped the other way, no big deal. I can't support his judgment anymore. And I think that's very sad. But I also understand because it has been a huge trap for so many people over the last 5 years. Will you choose principle over party? Can you tell right from wrong? Or are you so caught up that all you see is right versus left? We see this in so many places. And it just, it cannot be allowed to stand. Let's see some of your questions. Michael says, Jay, do you continue this show? Yes, as much as I can. I want to use this podcast as much as I can. I want to introduce you to other people who are running, who I believe are viable options. I've already been doing that. And I won't just be presenting members of the United Utah Party, but I want to introduce you to many of the candidates running for the United Utah Party. And I want to share with you their platform and their viewpoints. And I want you to check it out and look at it. But I've already interviewed Jay Kunsaker several times, who's running as a Republican against Burgess Owens. Becky Edwards has been on the show. I've been working with Evan McMullen. He's been a fantastic support. We hope to have him on the show. It's really interesting that you've got this group of people who are running against these incumbents, and this group of people is talking about the same things I'm talking about. Building on common ground, principles over party, right versus wrong instead of right versus left. There is clearly a growing voice that wants to create change. We have some wonderful people that we can get behind and support and create change. I've decided it's not going to happen inside the party, but I support anybody who's going to try and do it inside the party, inside the Republican Party. That's where it's going to have to happen, unless it happens from the outside, and that's my goal. Let's see here. Asian, is that your name? Says good luck on Facebook. Orion says, Chris Stewart has been begging for a job as Secretary of the Air Force. When he's busy applying for another job, his focus isn't his constituents. All I know is that I can't look at his decisions and say, yeah, that's good judgment. I can look at his decisions and say, yeah, that's partisan judgment. Even today on the radio, he's out criticizing Joe Biden and saying that sanctions don't work. I didn't hear him complaining about sanctions when President Trump used them. It's a perfect example of right versus left instead of right versus wrong. And as long as we continue to choose representatives who can't see right versus wrong, how can we expect anything to get done? Let's see, April Jensen joining us. Hey, April. Now, one of my in-laws. She says, you so know you've got my support. Thank you, April. It means a great deal to me. Brooke says, with the redistricting, which is District 2? Oh, my goodness, the districts are so, they are so difficult to make sense of. Believe it or not, I don't think there's a published, we don't even really know for sure what exactly our district is going to be here. But I can kind of show you. I think I have the link here somewhere still. Let me check. Yeah, there it is. And by the way, please ask me any questions about my candidacy, about my platform, about anything going on. I'm going to use these podcasts as an opportunity to share my beliefs, for you to share your beliefs. And then please like the stream, share it, invite other people to listen. That's the first thing that you can do. The second thing that you can do is to donate as little as $5. Go to jmacforutah.com and donate $5. Then we need volunteers. As I said, this needs to be a statewide effort. So let me see here. Would you like to see what District 2 is? Let me see if I've got my tech lined up here enough. All right. So if I zoom in here, the blue, whoa, what's going on? The blue is District 2. Now, all you really have to do to see what they did with redistricting is let's go right here and let's see. Here's basically the whole Salt Lake area, right? Where most of the Democrats live. What did they do? They just chopped it into four. Can you see that right in the middle? They just chopped it into four. Redistricting much? So let's look at District 2. So you've got Sugar House. You've got, let's see here. It's really hard to describe. If you're listening on the podcast tomorrow, I will share with you the link. West Valley City over here on the left. All of East Salt Lake used to be in District 2. So this green dot right there, that's the U of U over here on the right. I don't think you can see my mouse. Let me see if I can adjust it so you can see my mouse. Show cursor. It says that you can, but it's not showing up. So all of this that's in purple now used to be part of District 2. Let's see. If this is Rose Park, then we stay on the left of I-15, and we go up, and then we pick up North Salt Lake. We pick up Woods Cross, Bountiful, West Bountiful, Centerville, and then Farmington. And that's as far as it goes north. And then it stretches all the way east. So we pick up West Valley. We pick up Magna. It does go south almost down to Ochre. And then it goes east. I'm sorry, west. Got to get my my directions. And then so this is all Tooele. Grantsville, Stansbury Park, and then it skips all over, doesn't touch any of Utah County, does go down to Delta. I don't know if you guys can see this. So this is Delta, and then goes down here, Holden, Fillmore, also the other side, Richfield, and then it goes down to Cedar City. Beaver, Panguitch, and then all the way down to St. George. So that is District 2. Can you kind of see it there? So all the purple there is District 2. And I'll put a link in the here in the comments so that you can look at it at your leisure. Let's see. So it'll be Restream Reply if you look at it. Orion says you can see the new boundaries at the gerrymandering project. This is another point that I've made to you many times, and I'm going to continue to make again, and that is that gerrymandering only works because they already know how we're going to vote. Does that not seem a little strange to anybody else? Before they offer up a candidate, before you know their name, their background, anything about them, the parties already know how you're going to vote. And so they can draw these maps. Gerrymandering does not work if we don't already signal who we're going to vote for. And to me, this is completely backwards, that if you're going to have true representation, then every election, each elected official and each political party should have to come to you and beg you for their vote again. And we should be very selective and very discerning and say, no, 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 you didn't do this. You weren't honest. You didn't show good judgment, whatever. So we're going to find somebody else. And if they happen to be of another party or an independent or something else, then so be it. Because that's the only thing that's going to keep the parties representing you. Instead, what is happening is we've already signaled our vote so they can draw these gerrymandered districts. And because we've already signaled our vote, they don't have to listen to us. They can then sell that vote that you just gave to the highest bidder. And when you look at these campaigns for these incumbents who are supposed to be representing us right now, where's their money coming from? It's coming from out of the state. In some cases, 80 to 90% of the dollars are coming from out of the state. How can that be? How can that be so possible? It is that way because we are already giving them their vote and they don't have to come to us. And think about this, 51% of Utahns voted for an independent redistricting commission. And that redistricting commission came up with a different map. And the state legislature said, no, we're not even going to look at it. We're not even going to tell you why that map doesn't work. They set up all these straw man arguments that made no sense. But they basically told half of the voters of Utah, nah, we don't care what you think. How can they be so bold? How can they be so brazen? Because they know they've got your vote. It's just that simple. We could take away the power of gerrymandering today. Just don't signal what you're going to vote. It's like playing poker with your cards backwards so everybody can see your hand. They don't have to listen to you. They don't have to follow you. That's not representation. What we have in Utah is not representation, my friends. And that's why things are allowed to become more and more extreme. If we were demanding integrity, if we were demanding character, if we were demanding good judgment every single time, regardless of political party, they would have to come back to us every single year, every single election. They would have to, but they don't. We've sold our vote to the parties, and they are doing whatever the heck they want to do with it. And we've got to change that. And I believe the only way we're going to change that is to tell them and prove to them we're not going to sell our vote anymore. So I know people are in favor of term limits, and I understand the argument for term limits, but I'm telling you right now, as long as they know how we're going to vote to the point where they can divide us up in nice little tidy districts, term limits aren't going to change anything because it's going to continue to produce the same type of individual. We have to make our own term limits. We can put term limits in place right now. We can end gerrymandering right now. We just have to change our behavior. We have to change how we're acting and what we're doing. Dave says, thanks. That was helpful about the district. Michael on Facebook says, half of people voting. We need more people voting. We do. But I think people have become disenfranchised, especially in Utah, because it's always a foregone conclusion what's going to happen. It's why we have a primary system where you have Democrats and independents participating in a Republican primary saying that they are Republicans, but because that's the only place and time their vote's going to count. It's all backwards. It's all squampus. It is not anything close to the way it's supposed to be. It's time we take it back. It's time we restore this government to the mainstream middle. And that's what's the most frustrating for me, is if you look at the numbers across the country, the largest voting blocks are not the extremes. It's the mainstream middle. But because the parties have been in power for so long, they've been able to craft a system that makes it very hard for anybody else to participate. And so what happens is the mainstream middle becomes disenfranchised. They feel like nobody represents me, so I'm just going to stop participating and I'm just going to go on with my own life and let them be whatever they will be. We've got to wake up in the mainstream middle. We've got to find our voice again. And we've got to realize that we could take back power in no time if we can rally together, if we can use the power of our vote. We could take it back. And I think the parties know it. And I think that they've decided that if they can just keep us ginned up with fear, hatred, and anger towards the other side, then we will never sit back and realize that we are getting played. And that's what's happening. We are being manipulated and we are being played. And we are being taught that anyone who disagrees with us is evil or they have an ulterior motive. or they hate this country. That's not the language that was used by George Washington. That's not the language that is used by unifiers. It's really easy to know somebody's intent when you hear them talk. Are they in it for the common good, or are they in it for themselves? If you heard Chris Stewart's interview today on the radio, you heard somebody who's in it for themselves. Not seeking to unite, not seeking to find common ground, seeking to tell you that the other side is so different that they are dangerous. That's his messaging. And we know where that's going to end up. We know. Let's see. Jake said, let me get all you guys in. Orion says, we could make all voter data private permanently, and that would put an end to gerrymandering. I think that is a valid point. Jake says, how do we mobilize the mainstream middle? Seems that their steady inaction is a big part of the problem that led to our current situation. We need them most, but they are least likely to respond. Jake, you are so right. I shared this exact research on this podcast a few months ago, and it showed that people in the mainstream media are the least likely to have shared a post from a political candidate. They're the least likely to have donated to a candidate. They're the least likely to have attended a political event. I don't think that this is accidental, Jake. I think it's the result of them not feeling like there's a home, like they are represented any longer. And so the only thing I can say is that I'm going to do everything in my power to let them know that we have the numbers. And my hope is that over these past couple of years, they've realized the danger of inaction. That's what we're seeing right now. The danger when the mainstream middle is not active. We are seeing people being crazy ideas, unfounded ideas, outright lies, being passed around as truth without fear of consequence. Why is that? How can that happen? Because they don't fear the mainstream middle. The best analogy that I can give, and it may date myself, but it's the Bugs Life movie, where suddenly the ants realize that they outnumber the grasshoppers. And that's all it took. We are the ants. We outnumber the extremes. They are manipulating us and playing us every single day. At what point will it become enough for those in the mainstream middle to stand up and say enough is enough? I think there's a breaking point. I think there's a point of no return here. And I think we're dangerously close to that. And that's why I'm diving back in, to be honest with you. I have to do it for my kids. I have to do it for this country that I love. I have to do it for the sake of people who came before us, who knew and understood these principles. I hearken back to Ronald Reagan, who fought fiercely for his ideas with a smile on his face and without the character assassination, without giving up on principles. That's where we need to return. Let's see. Ben Burt joining us on Facebook. He says, we need more educated voters who don't just vote a party ticket. More voters just to have more voters is only part of the solution. I agree with you. If I don't feel educated about the candidates, I actually refrain from voting because I feel they need to let the public know about their platform. Voters need to be educated. I'm not a huge fan, Ben, of more voters just for the sake of more voters. I agree with you. I want people to take the time. And what's really insane to me is that we are probably less educated about the issues and about the candidates than we have ever been. And with the world of the internet, we should be the most educated. But we're not, because social media and our own habits allow us to create an echo chamber. So the first thing we do is we block anybody who disagrees with us. Then social media says, oh, I know what this person likes. And so I'm going to continue to feed them the stuff that they like. And so pretty soon you're never challenged. You are fed a stream of information that you have no idea if it's factual, but because of confirmation bias, you like it, you share it, you pass it on. It must be true because it backs up your preconceived ideas. And so in this world of amazing access to information, I think in general, people are less informed than ever. What a tragedy that is, right? What an unbelievable tragedy that is. It's just unbelievable. Hang on, I have to cough here. Orion says, how are you going to convince people to come and vote for a third party when Americans just see red or blue? Well, Orion, I think a lot of that convincing is happening without me. I think January 6th played a huge role in that. I think that these extremes that we see on TV every single day now, I think that people are waking up. I think that this would have been much harder 5 years ago. But I believe that the mainstream middle is starting to wake up. And one of the reasons why I say that is what I said earlier. Look at the people running against our incumbents. What are they saying? They're all sharing the same messaging that I'm sharing with you, that we have to return to common ground. We have to return to civility. This is all the people running against the incumbents. It's the same messaging. And that tells me something. That tells me that there is an awakening happening here. But you are exactly right. People are so committed to the two-party system. I know that there are people who are going to consider my choice to run for the United Utah Party as evil, as like against the Constitution or something. But I just please remember that parties have nothing to do with the Constitution. These are a construct of man. And George Washington said that he understands the tendency to want to get involved with political parties, but he said they are a fire to be quenched lest they consume. And he predicted our outcome. He predicted the rise of individuals who would become so divisive and they will play on our partisanship. We have to be reminded about what is most important, principles over party. I think right now, Orion, there are more people in this country than there have been in maybe 100 years or maybe since the beginning who are realizing that these two parties do not represent them. They are not trying to solve real issues. They are purposefully pointing out every single day why we are different as opposed to where we can build on common ground. And that tells you their motives. That's the test. Are they in it to unite or to divide? If they only tell you what makes us different, there's your answer. If they're out there saying, hey, we have common ground on immigration, let's build on that. Hey, we have common ground on the environment, let's build on that. We have common ground. You know what? There's common ground on critical race theory. Did you know that? No, people don't know that. Most people don't even know what critical race theory is. They've just been worked up through fear, hatred, and anger so that they'll donate to the candidate who's generating that fear, hatred, and anger. But anybody who's done any real research on the issue and who wants to actually accomplish something knows that there's common ground on that issue. Most of the critical wedge issues that we face in our society, there is clear common ground. And if our representatives were trying to solve problems that better represent the vast majority, they would start with common ground. They don't. They start and focus on differences. They are dividers. And George Washington made it very clear that somebody who is seeking to divide this nation cannot and should not be seen as a patriot. Now think about that. Is your representative right now a divider? I'm very grateful to say that we have some representation in the state of Utah that does focus on common ground and that does a good job. But we also have some of what I consider to be the biggest dividers in the nation in the form of Chris Stewart and Burgess Owens. They focus on division, feed on division. They want you to hate the other side. They don't want to get things done. They just want your money. And the way they get it is by telling you how terrible the other side is, how awful and evil they are. That's not right. It's not right. It doesn't conform with my Christian belief system, and it doesn't conform with my sense of what is right and what is just and how we should be treating people. It's just not right. Here we go. Sarah says, yes. Hey, Sarah, thank you for joining us. April says, preach, brother. Orion says, Republicans were once a party of principles that put country first. I thought so. That's what attracted me to the party. Something like 6 out of 10 Republicans are rooting for Putin, according to recent polls. This should be alarming. These people are strongmen, and he's favored over their own country. The one thing I will say that I am grateful to see is that there is a division that is forming in the Republican Party. Unfortunately, that division is too little, too late, and too few. You have the Liz Cheneys, you have the Mitt Romneys, you have people who are standing on principle over their own jobs. I mean, think about what Liz Cheney is doing. She is standing up for what she believes to be is right, knowing that she will probably lose her job. That is standing on principle. When you decide to play into election fraud, when there's no evidence to support that, when you downplay COVID and the vaccines, and you do all of this because you're afraid you will lose your job, that's not doing what's right. There's another word for that. Going against what is right so that you can keep your job. See, the way it's supposed to be is that your principles are more important than your job. We don't have that anymore in our representation. We see it in a few people, like Mitt Romney. He's clearly not worried about losing his job. He has decided to stand on principle, and it's amazing to see. So within the Republican Party, we see signs of it, but it's too little, too late. It's too little, too late. And that's why I'm going to do everything I can, and I am strengthened by a group of people that believe the same that I do, and they are dedicating their time and their effort. I wish I could share with you the amount of hours that were donated to this campaign just to get to the place where we can announce that we're running. The hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours that have been dedicated by people who see what I see and who are worried like I am worried and who have done so very much for their country. They have decided they're going to go down with a fight. And it strengthens me and it makes me believe. And I just decided with this much support, with this many people behind me, I have to do it. I have to. So that, in a nutshell, in a roundabout way, is to tell you why I am running for Congress in 2022. We are going to have a secret weapon. I wonder if I can show. Would you like to see the secret weapon that we're going to have? I'm very excited about this. Let me see. Give me a second. Again, if you're on the podcast, I'll describe it to you here. Let's see if I can put this on the screen. Bam! Look at that. That's a 36-foot long billboard that I will be personally driving. I will be spending every possible day and hour that I can between now and November touring District 2 and meeting with every single person that I can, not just to convince them to vote for me, but because I don't believe that you can fairly and accurately represent a district unless you get out there among the people and you find out what they believe. And you also try and convince them and change hearts and minds to your belief system. And we are going to have a naming contest, and we can even start the contest tonight. We need a name for the bus. Orion is saying the Mack Wagon. We're going to have a contest. So any of you that have any ideas for the JMAC RV, it's a motorhome, but you can call it a bus. You can call it a wagon. We're going to come up with the top five names, and then we'll do some type of online poll. And we'll put the name of the JMAC bus on the side of it. And we will bring it to your house if you win, if it'll fit in front of your house. And you'll also win a bunch of election swag. So T-shirts, pins, and a free ride in the JMAC bus. See, I need a name for it. The JMAC bus just doesn't work, or the JMAC RV, it just doesn't work. So this is actually the rendering. It's being wrapped as we speak. So very exciting. That thing is 36 feet long. So I am so excited. And that should tell you, we are coming into this, especially because of our affiliation with the United Utah Party. There are some incredible people in this party, and they have stepped up from day one to help support this campaign. Sarah says the Big Mac attack. I don't know if we can go Big Mac. I don't know if we'll get sued. I don't know if that's something, but I have considered that as well. So we'll put that on the list. Ben says, very nice, channeling some Spencer Cox methods there. Yeah. And I remember Ben McAdams had like, it looked like a food truck or something. We're playing the size game here. So, here's a great question from, Matthew Mitchell. Are you petitioning again this year? No, Matthew, we're not. We're not doing signatures this year. And I'll be brutally honest with you. If I had to go through the signature gathering process again, I would not be running again. It was that difficult. It was that traumatic and that useless. It was a useless process. I thought I had this idea in my head that you would be knocking on doors and people would be asking about you. They'd be saying, okay, tell me about yourself. What do you believe? You know, finding out if you're a candidate that they should, you know, vote for. This is how every interaction went. I'd knock on the door, and this is how all of our signature gatherers, it happened. They'd say, who are you running against? And I'd say, I'm running against Ben McAdams. And they'd go, oh, give it to me, sign. And that's it. No questions about who I was, my platforms, my experience, nothing. And I think the signature gathering is designed to somehow show that you have support. That's not what it was. It cost us almost $100,000 to gather those signatures. It was not a manifestation or a representation of the support that we had. We discovered that people signed my petition, they signed Burgess's, they signed Kim Coleman's, they signed anybody's that were willing to run against Ben McAdams. So fortunately this year, I am running with the United Utah Party. There is There is a caucus right now. I'm not aware of anybody else who is running in the 4th District. They have until March 4th, I believe, to sign up and declare. If somebody does decide to run, did I say 4th? I meant for the 2nd District. If nobody else runs, then I will be the nominee for the United Utah Party. I hope that that's the way it plays out, but I'm more than willing to engage in some type of primary process to gain the trust and the vote of the United Utah Party. But it appears at this point that there's a good chance that I will be the only candidate for District 2, and that will advance me to the ballot in November. So we won't have to worry about any of that process. But I would also encourage any of you out there, it's not going to just take support for good candidates. It's going to take people to run. And I know that's a scary process, but we're going to do everything we can this year to not just run our own campaign. I'm going to do everything I can to share the people that are running that I believe fit this bill of being a uniter and not a divider. And if you are one of those people, reach out to me and let's have a discussion about whether or not you should run for state office or federal office or local office, whatever. We need them all. But just know we're going to try and lend as much support as we can to those candidates. We are not going to accomplish this alone. Sarah says, Macarolin? All right, we're getting there. But hopefully that answers your question, Matthew. No, we're not gathering signatures again. No. I feel so bad that all of that money that was donated went to gathering signatures instead of spreading the word. I just couldn't do that again. Jackie on Facebook says, I registered Republican just to vote for you. All in? Let's see. Sione says, you've got my vote, Jay. Much love from the slums of West Valley. Hey, Sione, we're going to get out to West Valley. I'm bringing the bus to West Valley. So let me know where you're at. We'll park it right in your neighborhood. We love it. We absolutely love it. Any other thoughts or questions that you'd like to know? Please, the best thing you can do right now, go to jmacforutah.com, a donation of as little as $5. And I'm looking, since we've gone on the air tonight, I've got... it looks like we've got 4 donations that have come in since we went on the air. Thomas, let's see. We've also got Hayden. And let's see who else. David, thank you. Thank you, all of you, for your donations. $5 will make a difference. I promise you that it will. And start there. If you can do more, if you could do a monthly donation during the campaign, absolutely, start there. Sarah says, this makes me so happy. We'll do all I can to support you. Thank you so much, Sarah. Ben Burt says, just name it the United Utah Party Bus. We could do that. I need something catchy. You know, was it in the UK they had that boat naming contest and they had committed to stick to whatever the name was, and it ended up being Bodie McBoatface. One of my favorite stories of all time. I don't think we're going to name it Bussy McBusface, but we will take the top 5 and we'll then have an online vote and we'll do a contest. So help us name the bus. And if you have a location, let me also say this. If you are a business owner, we are looking for places that we can park this bus. My day job involves making phone calls to clients. So my intent at this point is to get up in the morning, drive that bus to somewhere in district, do my phone calls for my day job, and then when I'm done with my day job, open the door and hang out and talk to anybody who wants to come by and find out what I believe, share with me your thoughts about what needs to be done. I couldn't be more excited. about the JMAC bus. We just need a good, solid name. That's what we need. Any other questions tonight? You guys have been fantastic. Thank you for your support of this announcement. It's so good to finally get it out and to now be working on changing hearts and minds. It's, you know, you spend months knowing you're going to do this and looking forward to the day. And the other thing is we had had a bunch of media that we expected to get today, media coverage. And it just happened to be the day that Putin rolls into part of Ukraine, and just really sad, the two Black Hawk helicopters that crash in the Utah area. And so rightly so, the news coverage went to cover those issues, and that's the way it should be. I expect tomorrow the coverage should be a little bit different. So Boyd Matheson has invited me on his show on KSL. I hope to be doing several other interviews. If you see those, post those to your social media. Like them, share them. That's some way. That's a way that you can help us all out. So I'm hoping for some good coverage. Jake says, where can we get a yard sign? If you go to the website, there's a volunteer form. One of the check boxes there is if you want to put a sign in your yard. And I don't necessarily think you need to be in the second district. Obviously, we want to put most of our resources there. But if you're outside of the district and you want to help us spread the word, we are not just fighting a battle in District 2. We are trying to raise awareness about the two-party system. And so we can spread that message all over Utah. And we will get you a sign. Manuel says, thank you for your hard work, Jay. Manuel, I saw your comment on Facebook. Didn't have a time to respond to it, so I'll respond to you now. Actually, it was on YouTube. Thank you so much. Sarah said, and there were also big storms and a four-year-old shooting at police. Yeah, there was a lot of news going on today. And having been in a member of the media for the last 20 years, the minute I saw those stories, I got up really early because I was expecting to do some early morning media, and I turned on the news and I saw the Ukraine situation and then the helicopters, and I finally just went back to my day job. I said, there's no way we're talking to anybody today. So I completely understand that's the way it works. I know that we're going to get plenty of coverage and support from the members of the media. Jackie says, can you post a link to the website? Yeah, absolutely. If you go to my normal website too, jmcfarland.com, there is a link on the homepage there. But let's see here. So it's jmcforutah.com, and I will put this in the conversation, and it'll show under Restream. It doesn't show my name, but it says restream.io. You should see it there. So there you go, Jackie, on Facebook. Any other comments or questions or anything else that I can answer for you, or questions about the campaign? Like I said, I can't promise two podcasts a week. I'm going to try. My goal is to go live from the bus as much as possible. So hopefully I'm doing more broadcasts, not fewer broadcasts along the way once we get the bus out and we're touring the second district. I see David just signed up for the newsletter. That's the other thing you can do is go to the website and sign up so that you know we're going to let you know where we're going to be. We're also planning we want to do some really cool, fun fundraisers. Orion is helping us out with that. So, like, if you want to go see a Bees game, we're going to do an event at the Bees where you can purchase your ticket. It will include food and the ticket, but proceeds will go to the campaign. So we're putting together, trying to do some fun things as well to make the fundraising part fun and exciting. If you have any ideas about, what we can do, I was thinking bowling parties. I was thinking, all kinds of things. that we can do to make the, I'll put it this way, to put the fun in fundraising. anything else tonight that I can share with you? Again, I just want to say thank you. I couldn't do this without knowing ahead of time that I have so much support out there. And it's been so important for me over these past this past year and a half to be able to come to you on this podcast and share my thoughts and get legitimate responses and disagreement. I feel like we've set a profound example over these last 2 years on this podcast that it is so possible to disagree with each other respectfully and to do our part to see the other side, and that if we make an honest attempt to seek to understand why somebody would disagree with us and what drives them and what motivates them, that we can do that, and it makes us all better, and it brings us better ideas and better solutions. This podcast has been the poster child for that type of uniting since we started doing it 2 years ago. And it's one of the things that leads me to believe that we can wake up the masses. We can wake up the mainstream middle. And it doesn't mean that we're all going to have this kumbaya moment and start agreeing with each other. But it does mean that we're going to disagree in a way to try and find solutions. Disagree in a way where we can build on common ground. This is the type of leadership that I crave, that I so desire in our country. And I think most of you crave it and want it as well. And I said this earlier today, and I really believe it. I think America is great, not in spite of our differences, but because of our differences. But we've forgotten how to capitalize on those differences. We've been taught that they're bad, that they're wrong. It's just not true. That's what makes us great. And we are going to miss out on so much if we try to shut out one side of the aisle. We're going to miss out on so much. It shouldn't even be attempted. It shouldn't even be tried. And those people who are trying to do it, they're not in it for the good of this country. They're in it for their own power. So I'll just share that with you. And more of you are making donations right now. Jake just volunteered. Jackie made a donation. Thank you, Jackie. This is exactly what we need. This is where we need to start. And let me encourage you, once you've volunteered, once you've made a donation, put it on your social media that you just donated. Put a link to this website or to this broadcast tonight. And let them see it. Put a link to our social media and challenge those around you. I know that's a big step because we're so afraid of the trolls. We're so afraid of the backlash. But you know what? The extremes are not afraid of that. And they're doing it freely and openly. We have to match them. In fact, we have to do better than them. So let me invite you to do that tonight. And with that, I think I've got time to go and watch Curse of Oak Island. See if they finally found something. Thank you, my friends. For those of you who missed any part of this, I always post it the next day for the podcast, and it will be left and made available on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitch, Twitter, all the socials, so you'll be able to refer back to it and like it and share it. With that, my friends, thanks again. Ben says, big step indeed. There are so many that don't want to have real discussions out there. I know. Believe me, I know. But we've got to match them. Sarah says, LOL, yes, I'll watch that too. Everybody, thank you so much. Have a wonderful night. Go to the website, like it and share it. And sign up for the newsletter so we can tell you where we're at and what we're doing. And this is just day one, and I am so excited. And talking to you tonight has made me even more excited. And Jackie, Anyone who listens, who watches Oak Island, they know exactly what your statement means. Nobody else will, but this is a running joke in our family. Could it be? If you've watched Oak Island, you know what that is. Inside joke. If not, you're going to have to watch. You're going to have to watch. All right, my friends, thank you so much. Everybody, have a wonderful night. I'll start the music here. And then, Ben, thank you for liking the stream. Everybody, do that quick. Like the stream before I sign off. Share the stream. Share the link. We're going to own, this will only happen if we do it together. Those of us, we are the ants. It only happens if we do it together. Good night, my friends. We'll talk real soon, I promise.